Elves Love Snakeskin Leather Boots by House Atlantis, read by Petica. Summary. Chris makes handmade leather shoes, but his business isn't going well. If he doesn't find a way to sell his shoes, he's going to lose everything. Until one night, when he receives special help in the form of a mysterious and naked elf. Author's note: Fairy Tale AU, language, nude elf Adam, suggestiveness, schmoop, crack. Based on the fairy tale by Brothers Grimm, The Elves and the Shoemaker, but with a naughty twist. Got to Get You Into My Life lyrics belong to the Beatles from their Revolver album, inspired by watching a fascinating video on YouTube. It was time to face the music. Christopher was no Christian Louboutin. He wasn't even Payless Shoes, for heaven's sake. He sighed, thumping his head on his drafting table, pencil tapping listlessly on his sketchbook, and frowning at the pictures of low-heeled, comfortable, practical shoes. It was so uninspired. And the shoes that he had been drawing lately were so boring and ugly, he didn't want to waste the last batch of red rose hand-dyed leather that he had in his workshop by trying to make one of his drawings come to life. He looked out at the small, intimate store. The shelves were dusty, the shoes were lifeless, and he needed to change the light bulbs in the display cases. All in all, his dream of owning his own specialty shoe store in the heart of LA's fashion district was turning into a nightmare. He had bills coming out of his ears, and if he didn't make at least 5 sales this month alone, he'd have to close up his store and declare bankruptcy. But Chris didn't want to fail. He loved the business of shoes. And, okay, he wasn't all that great at selling shoes, but that's why he had Brad run the front of the store. Brad was his first friend in LA, and one of the very few people he trusted with his life. Brad encouraged him to chase his dreams and worked at his store for minimum wage. "Darling, don't think I'm a bitch or anything, but you do realize that opening a shoe store in Los Angeles that sells the practical shoe is kind of, well, impractical? I really think that I can convince women that being pretty doesn't have to hurt. Think of all the damage they do to their feet. I mean, 5 orthopedic surgeons tested and approved the built-in cushions that are made for my shoes." Brad gave him a fond look and nodded. "All right, Christopher, I believe in you. Let me help, okay? But what about your work?" "Pfft, don't you worry your pretty little face about my artistic work. This is more important right now." Chris really wanted to believe that he had a niche market, that he could sell the pretty and practical shoe in LA. Urgh, who was he kidding? The practical shoe was a myth. He knew women ruined their feet and put up with pain for a pair of killer heels. He just didn't believe it was necessary. Sitting up, he flipped to a new page and sketched out a fantasy shoe. It was at least 4 inches high with a sexy stiletto heel and sexy straps that would climb from the top of the foot to the ankle. He picked up a bright red marker and colored in the straps. He sighed, smiling a little, as he traced his fingers along the paper. It was an orthopedic surgeon's nightmare. It was a beautiful shoe. "I wish it was this easy," he murmured, taking a deep breath. He closed his eyes and pressed his forehead against the drafting table, sending a quick prayer of thanks to heaven for his artistic talent, and a special thank you for sending him someone like Brad to be his friend. He ended his prayers, like always, with a thank you for the good life he had, despite his problems with his business, and a wish for someone he could share his life with. "Christopher, come here right this minute," Brad called, grabbing his wrist and pulling him towards the back of the store to his workshop. "Where have you been hiding this?"
"Hiding what?" Chris said, confused.
"This!"
Chris blinked, stared at the pair of shoes sitting on his workshop table.
"What?" "I could just cry," Brad said, sighing deeply.
His hands fluttered as he reached for the shoes.
"If I were a woman, I'd kill to have these."
He picked them up and took a deep, shuddering breath.
fuck it. I'll wear them anyway. Could you make me a pair, darling? Size 10 mediums? I can't pay you because you don't pay me enough for working here. But I'm sure we can work something out in trade. Cassidy won't mind if I give you blowjobs. Not if I get a pair of these out of the deal. And if he gets to watch. Chris blushed and bit his upper lip, shoving half-heartedly at Brad's shoulder. He should be used to Brad's type of flirting by now, but he always managed to make Chris blush. Shush you, and stop fondling the shoes. He took the shoes from Brad and stifled his moan at the feel of the shoes. The weight was perfectly balanced. He tested the stability of the stiletto heel and found it sturdy and strong. The wood was polished like a marble finish. The built-in foot and heel cushions were soft and would feel comfortable for the wearer. He looked at the leather straps, the white stitching absolutely flawless. Everything about the shoe was perfect. "It's your masterpiece," Brad said, his eyes wet and sparkling. "Oh, Chris, I knew you had it in you. I really, really believed you could make it happen." Chris didn't know what to say, so he gave Brad a hug and grinned when the other man kissed him on the cheek. "You're a good friend, Brad Bell." "I know," he said, wiping his eyes and smirking at him. "I can't believe. These are the fantasy shoes I drew last night." "Fantasy, I like it. I have a whole marketing plan for these shoes," Brad said, taking the heels from Chris and walking back to the store. "Get back to work, Christopher, while I ply my magic." Chris looked around his workshop. Everything was clean and his tools were in place. He saw the leather and wood shavings on the floor, but someone had used the broom to sweep the shavings into a neat pile. He walked to his drafting table and squinted at the messy notations on his sketch, measurements and design equations, and stuff Chris didn't recognize because it didn't look like anything he'd ever learned at the Fashion Institute. What the heck was going on? He heard Brad's cheerful voice, and he walked back to the storefront to see him talking with three women, letting them hold and touch the shoes. "And here's our adorable designer, Christopher Allen," Brad said, waving him towards the women. Chris cleared his throat and blushed, walking towards them. "Hey." "I was just telling them about the new fantasy line that you've designed," Brad said, winking at him. "This is the first pair of this particular line. For now, anyway. Right, Christopher?" He just stared at Brad, biting his bottom lip at Brad's bold lies. Christopher is very shy, but most creative geniuses are, aren't they, ladies?" Brad said, giggling with the three women as they gave him interested looks. Chris was pretty sure that he was turning the same shade of red as the shoes. "I have to, Chris pointed to the back of the store, backing away slowly from Brad and the women. "Workshop, you know, have to make more shoes." "Go ahead, honey, I've got this," Brad said, blowing him a kiss. He turned back to the women. "Isn't he just so cute? Don't you want to eat him up? Oh my God, which one of you lovelies is going to buy this Christopher Allen original?" Chris fled to the back and sat down at his drafting table chair, staring blearily at his sketchbook. Someone had come into his workshop and made those shoes. Who would do this? Was this a joke or something? Why would someone do this? "Chris! OMG! I just sold those shoes for $2,000! I think I need to work on commission, don't you?" Brad said, sauntering towards him, a wide smile on his face. $2,000? Chris said, eyes wide. "And one of the women wanted to buy them even though they weren't in her size," Brad said, leaning against him and sighing dramatically. "Now, you need to make more, baby. Those shoes were really delicious." Chris took a deep breath. "I have a confession. I designed them, but I didn't make them." "What do you mean?" Chris showed Brad his sketchbook. "I drew the picture last night, but I didn't actually make them. Someone came here and made these notations and the shoes."
"Who?"
"I don't know." Brad looked at the page and then back at Chris. "So, you have a shoemaking fairy godmother?" Chris laughed and shook his head. "Am I going crazy?" "Well, don't look a gift horse in the mouth," Brad said, smiling at him. "And I don't even know what that means, but don't do it." He hugged Chris and stroked his head. "I'll lock up and leave you to it, okay?" "Thanks, Brad," he said, watching his friend walk back to the store. He heard Brad lock the doors and pull down the inside gate. He heard the alarm set and the cash register open. He knew Brad would do the receipts and fill out the appropriate bank deposit forms. It would be the first time that the business wasn't in the red. "Good night, Chris. I'll make the evening deposit on my way home," Brad said, waving his hand as he made his way to the back door. "Thanks. See you tomorrow," Chris called, smiling at him. He waited until Brad closed the door. He picked up the sketchbook and walked towards his workshop area, getting out all the supplies and tools to make a pair of the fantasy shoes. He looked at the notations and carefully wrote out measurements that he was familiar with. Rolling up his sleeves and putting on his protective eye goggles, he got to work. It probably said a lot that he was surprised to see people inside the store. He stood outside on the sidewalk, watching Brad talking to a dozen beautifully dressed women, smooth and easy, his face showing his pleasure. Chris sipped his coffee and watched as Brad placed the fantasy shoe on the black velvet shoe display in the front window. He looked up and smiled at Chris, winking at him. Chris waved and pointed to the back of the store and then at himself to let Brad know that he would be in his workshop, and Brad rolled his eyes and nodded. Chris walked in the back and looked around his workshop. He was surprised to find that there were 4 pairs of the red rose leather fantasy shoes on the workshop table. He scratched his head. 4 pairs in the workshop? 1 pair in the front window? Did those shoes multiply overnight? He really didn't get it. He stared at his tools and his supplies. He would need to buy more leather because he was out of the red rose now. He sat down at his drafting table, setting his coffee carefully in its holder, and opened his sketchbook to a blank page. He picked up his pencil and began to sketch. He had a dream last night of something black and sexy, something with dark blue or deep purple straps. He wondered who his miracle helper was, and then wondered if heaven hadn't answered his prayers. Well, one of them. "Chris, I'm going to order Thai for lunch." "Okay, thanks," he murmured, not looking up from his sketchbook. He was getting hungry, but he ignored the growls made by his stomach to continue drawing. "Hey, you need to eat," Brad said, putting his hand on Chris's shoulder. Chris jerked up and blinked at Brad. "What?" "The food's here, and you've been bent over your drafting table for 4 hours. Come on, have some food and show me what you've been working on." Chris grinned, his stomach growling at the mention of food. He grabbed his sketchbook and followed Brad to the small kitchenette off the workshop area. He sat down with Brad and opened his sketchbook, eating quickly as Brad stared at the pictures. "You have like 14 pages of sketches," he said, blinking at Chris. "This is the most inspired I've ever seen you. And your designs? They're gorgeous." "Thanks," Chris said, his mouth full of spicy chicken. "I don't know what's come over me." "Well, first of all, manners," Brad said, throwing a napkin at his face. Chris caught it and closed his mouth, chewing quickly. "And second of all, I'm glad to see you happy. It's been a long time since you've loved doing this." He nodded, thinking that Brad was right. "Well, maybe the practical shoe is a long shot. It doesn't make me sell out that I'm designing heels, does it?" "Does it matter? Your shoes are beautiful, Chris. They're going to make a lot of people happy." Chris grinned, looking over at Brad. "Can you keep an eye on the store for the rest of the day? I need to go pick up some new supplies, now that we actually have some money to buy supplies with." "Sure, go ahead. Have fun," he said, pointing to the black stiletto on the page. And make this one tonight, baby. It's so hot. I can sell this for double what the red shoe went for. Chris nodded at the picture. That's my favorite, too. It's funny how things happened. That black shoe that he and Brad both liked became the iconic shoe for the Christopher Allen line. The Black Beauty would go on to be the hottest-selling shoe of all time. In the 3 months since Chris designed that first Red Rose shoe, his little store became the new hotspot for anyone able to afford his shoes, thanks to Brad for continuing to up the price despite Chris's protests. It's supply and demand, darling. Plus, you're handcrafting each pair. He grabbed Chris's hands and held them up. These are the hands of an artist, and what you make with your hands is worth every single penny those rich Beverly Hills housewives pay for one of your shoes. You know, factory workers in South America handcraft each pair too, but they're not selling their shoes for $5,000. Brad fluttered his lashes. That's because they don't have someone as amazing as me to do their marketing for them. Chris couldn't really argue with that. I just don't want to be greedy. Oh, Chris, you're so sweet. The fashion industry is more cutthroat than anything Hollywood could offer. Greed has very little to do with how things work, Brad told him sagely. Just let me handle this so we can both become rich and famous. It only makes sense that Chris made Brad his business partner. When LA's hottest actresses came to his store and wore his shoes on the red carpet, the paparazzi and the media followed. House of Allen was elevated to luxury boutique status, and Chris finally found his niche as a designer who made designer shoes by hand. I feel kind of guilty being labeled as a designer who made all the shoes. Right, because admitting that you have a shoemaking fairy godmother sounds any better? Honey, you can be eccentric. That is perfectly acceptable in this business, but you don't want to be labeled crazy, okay? Brad insisted that Chris open his workshop to his customers. He liked his privacy and created his prototypes while Brad ran the front of the store. But Brad kept calling Chris an artist and thought it would be cool to let his customers see the artist at work. Darling, you know this is a great idea. People come here to see you because you're hot and you're cute and you're shy. It's a riveting package. Riveting? Chris rolled his eyes. You know, sometimes I just sit at my workshop table and stare off into space. Brad giggled. You can totally play up the tortured artist thing. People love that. They hired contractors to put in a soundproof window at the back of the store that looked into the workshop. Customers could watch Chris working at his table, hammering out some part of the shoe with a small mallet. Sometimes, Chris would sit at his table and just stare at his sketchbook, hand pulling at his hair, biting at his bottom lip. Sheer frustration would make him frown, and he'd hide behind his drafting table for the rest of the afternoon, unhappy about everything. Money wasn't ever a problem anymore. Chris had more than he knew what to do with. Between the two of them, they were able to pay off the bills, and Chris made sure that Brad got a really nice bonus for those months when he'd worked for nearly nothing. And at the end of every day, Chris offered his prayers to heaven, hugged Brad goodnight, reviewed his accounting ledgers to see how much they made in daily receipts, and spent a few hours working on new designs or prototypes. And every morning, when Chris and Brad came to the store, there were shoes lined up all along the workshop table. Sometimes dozens of pairs, all in different sizes. And Brad would spend an hour arranging and rearranging the displays on the shelves. Chris didn't know why he bothered, because it wasn't like the shoes stayed in the store long enough to be displayed. They were usually sold out within the first couple of hours of the store opening, and Brad spent the rest of the day measuring feet and managing all the special orders that women placed. The waitlist was now at 7 months for a Christopher Allen original. I think I'm going to stay in the store and see what actually happens when we're not here, Chris said nervously. You think that's a good idea? What if they know you're here and it scares them away or something? Chris made a face. It's been 3 months, and I'm a dick for not trying to find out what's going on. At least to say thank you to whoever it is that comes here, and I don't know. I'll stay with you. We'll hide and stay really quiet and see what happens, Brad said, clutching Chris's hands. Chris left his sketchbook on the workshop table, and he and Brad hid under his drafting table after covering it with a large sheet of canvas. He thought it was kind of stupid and obvious, but he didn't have a better idea. How long do you think we should stay? Brad whispered against his ear. Chris shrugged and shook his head. You should sleep, and I'll take first watch. Okay, thanks. Chris woke up to the sound of gentle hammering and Brad asleep, drooling on his shoulder. He shifted Brad slightly so that he was propped up against Chris's chest, and he pulled aside the canvas covering the table to see someone with black hair standing at his workshop table. The man was naked. He wore Chris's leather apron to protect his parts, but from the view of the back, and Chris acknowledged that that was a very lovely behind, the man was naked and working on his shoe designs. He started humming, and Chris sighed, sinking back against the wall under the table, a half smile on his face as he watched the man work. He had wide shoulders and nice arms. His skin was pale, and he seemed to have freckles everywhere. Brad mumbled, and Chris held his breath, putting his hand over Brad's mouth, but it only made him make more noise. Chris dropped the canvas. Shh. Brad opened his eyes and blinked up at Chris, his eyes widening in question. Chris nodded and placed his finger over his lips, letting go of Brad's face. He gingerly lifted the canvas to show Brad. He watched as Brad's lip formed into an "Oh." His brown eyes nearly bugged out of his head. He turned to Chris and mouthed, "Oh my God." And Chris widened his eyes and nodded back, mouthing, "I know." They turned and continued watching the naked man as he hummed along to himself, quite cheerfully, and finished working on the shoes. Chris watched as he put the tools away, swept the floor, and took off the apron. Chris closed his eyes and put his hand over Brad's eyes, who grabbed Chris's wrist and dug his fingernails into his skin to protest. Chris dropped the canvas and pulled Brad's hair meanly in retaliation, and Brad nearly kneed him in the balls as they silently fought over giving the naked man some privacy. The struggle ended when Brad licked Chris's cheek and Chris pushed him off, wiping off his cheek with his shoulder. They both scrambled out from under the drafting table to find that the naked man was gone. Was it just a dream? Brad said, rubbing his eyes and yawning noisily. God, he was gorgeous. Chris walked to his workshop table to find 6 pairs of beautifully completed heels. He touched them lightly, sighing to himself. Even on his best day, Chris could finish maybe 2 pairs a day. The mystery naked man could finish 6 pairs. Sometimes he finished more if the design wasn't too complicated. Chris dropped his face into his hands and took a deep breath. I really don't understand what's going on, he said, shaking his head. Well, honey, all I can say is that whatever prayers you've been sending up to heaven, keep it up because heaven's answering them. Brad leaned against him. Did you see that ass? It was a fucking peach. Chris elbowed him and rolled his eyes. Does Cassidy know that you check out other guys? Of course Cass knows. I'm not blind, Christopher. I'm totally allowed to look all I want. Just can't touch without permission, Brad said, snickering. Whose permission? Chris says, curiously. Cass, of course. He sighed. He really knew better than to ask. Chris walked into Cassidy's very hip and very goth punk store on Melrose Avenue, and smiled at Brad's boyfriend. Cassidy gave him a hug. Brad said that you could help? Oh, Chris, I'm so glad that you decided to give up the plaid, Cassidy said, taking his hands and looking at him kindly. "I mean, you're a gorgeous little thing, and plaid really isn't your color."
Chris made a face and grinned.
"What are you talking about? I have a shirt in every color in plaid."
"No, Christopher, no.
How many times do I have to tell you that you are a beautiful boy, and beautiful boys like you need to wear beautiful things?"
"Come on, cut it out. Anyway, I didn't come for me," he said, blushing slightly. "I came because I want to buy a gift for someone. Brad said that you'd have some things that he might like."
"Really?" Cassidy said, giving him a long look. "Brad didn't say that you were seeing anyone. Are you seeing someone?"
"No, not quite," he said, smiling. "I'm a secret admirer?"
"Stalker. I like it," Cassidy said, chuckling. "Come with me, pretty one, and let's go shopping.
Do you know his sizes?"
"Forget it.
Why am I asking you? You don't even know your own sizes."
"Hey!"
He watched as Cassidy snorted, rolling his eyes. "Use your hands and shape him out for me."
"He's about this tall?" Chris said, raising his hand a few inches over his head.
"About 6'1".
"Okay, go on. Show me his shoulders."
Chris sighed.
"He's about like this?"
He tried to remember the mystery naked man's body size in terms of his workshop table area.
"Maybe?"
"I can't believe you went to the Fashion Institute and didn't develop any kind of fashion instinct."
"I designed shoes. Shoes go with fashion."
"You're lucky I love you anyway," Cassidy said, smirking. "You sit down over there and I'll put something together for you."
"Thanks, Cass," he said, laughing to himself.
Chris folded the jeans and the shirt and placed the wide hand-tooled leather bracelet on top of the clothes on his workshop table with his sketchbook. He picked up his pen and wrote a short message in his sketchbook. "Hi, my name is Chris Allen. Thank you for helping me all this time. I'm so stupid and rude not to have thanked you before now. I hope that the clothes will fit and that you'll like them. I hope you'll tell me your name and why you came to help me. Anyway, thanks again." Chris came into the store before sunrise and found the clothes gone and his sketchbook on his drafting table. He bit his lip as he walked towards it and saw that it was open on the same page as his note. He gasped when he saw a short message in a bubbly, messy scrawl.
"Hi, Chris. I'm Adam. I liked the clothes a lot and everything fit. I love your designs. Okay, bye."
Adam had underlined "a lot" and "love" 5 times and liked using exclamation points. Chris was a little disappointed that there wasn't more, but Adam's message made him smile, and he hoped that there would be more in the future. Each night after that, Chris left Adam a small gift of some kind. Pink berry cupcakes, more interesting clothes from Cassidy Stores, a really cool necklace that Chris made from different metals. He and Brad left notes for Adam's in a new notebook that Brad named the Chris plus Adam Diaries. Brad's notes were, well, "Dear Adam, you have a gorgeous ass. If I didn't have a boyfriend, I'd totally let you fuck me. Unless you're into threesomes, then Cassidy would totally agree. By the way, Chris has a crush on you. I keep telling him to seduce you, but he's a total virgin and shy." Chris spent a lot of time editing Brad's messages to Adam with a black Sharpie. Adam's notes were always so cheerful.
"I don't think I've ever tasted pink cupcakes before. Yummy!"
And,
"The new shirt is really awesome."
Every morning, Chris woke up and ran to the store because he wanted to read Adam's messages to him.
"Why don't you just stay and, you know, talk to him?" Brad said nonchalantly.
Chris was pretty sure that "talk" meant something a whole lot naughtier in Brad speak. He could always tell by Brad's nonchalant behavior. Chris shrugged.
"I don't want to jinx things." Brad rolled his eyes. Christopher, you've been thanking God for a good life since you were born. Maybe this is his way of giving you a reward.
I don't think it actually works like that, he said, smiling widely. He'll give you opportunities when it's the right time.
So, why don't you just take the opportunity in front of you and go for it?
Chris grinned, feeling shy.
Maybe it's not the right time yet?
Chris had a brilliant idea.
Adam, please trace an outline of both your feet in the notebook.
He came in the next morning to find that Adam had traced his feet, including his toes, in the notebook. Chris chuckled to himself and told Brad that he was going to the textile store to pick up something for a special project. Chris spent hours looking for the perfect leather and paid a small fortune for everything. He hadn't ever designed or made boots for men before, so he was a little intimidated by the prospect of creating something new. It would be a project that would take him at least a week, and maybe at the end, he'd present the boots to Adam in person. It was an exciting thought. Chris worked diligently on his special project for Adam. Once he finished one of the boots, he showed it to Brad.
"Oh my God, I love it," Brad said, eyes wide and voice high-pitched.
"Why don't you make things like that for me? You don't love me." He smiled, rubbing a cloth over the snakeskin.
"I do love you."
"Well, not enough to make me a pair of snakeskin boots." Chris rolled his eyes and laughed.
"I promise that once I finish Adam's boots, I'll make you a set of black boots in the softest kidskin leather out there."
"Really?" Brad said, looking at him, his bottom lip sticking out in the cutest pout.
"And maybe a set for Cassidy, too?"
He nodded, settling the boot on the workshop table, gazing at it.
"Okay, a set for Cassidy, too."
"Yay!"
"Good luck," Brad said, giving him a hug and looking over at the finished boots. "He's going to love them."
"Thanks, I hope so."
"And he's going to love you too, Chris, so stop being such a wimp."
He scratched at his head and let out a nervous chuckle.
"Just get out of here, all right?"
"I left lube and condoms in your desk," Brad called, blowing him a kiss at the door.
"Good grief! Get out of here, you crazy person!"
Brad laughed and waved, closing the door firmly behind him. Chris sat down at the drafting table chair and turned on his iPod, hooking up the mini speakers. He thumbed his playlist and selected the Beatles' Revolver album, and "Got to Get You Into My Life" came to life, the brass section hitting him right in the gut. He didn't know when Adam would appear, so he tucked his head on his arms on top of the drafting table and closed his eyes, letting the music and the words take him deep into his thoughts.
Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? Got to get you into my life.
He woke up to someone stroking his head. Chris grumbled something and turned his face against his arm. Probably Brad trying to wake him up. But the soft laugh didn't belong to Brad. Chris opened his eyes and sat up quickly, staring at Adam.
"Adam!"
"Hi, Chris," he said, smiling widely. "I was wondering when you were going to visit me."
"Oh."
Chris blinked, looking him over. He was wearing one of the dozen shirts that Chris had left for him, and the black jeans, and the studded leather belt. He wore the necklace that Chris made for him. Naked or fully dressed, Adam was pretty darn hot. Adam smiled, patting his back.
He took a couple of steps back and held out his arms at his sides. You like?
Yeah, Chris drawled, nodding slowly.
He blinked, feeling his face get hot. I mean, you look great. I'm glad that the, everything fits.
You're the first person to ever leave me presents and notes, Adam said, ducking his head shyly.
Thank you.
Are you kidding? You pretty much saved my entire business, Chris said, scrambling to get off the chair and to his feet.
He looked into Adam's blue eyes and bit his lips.
Thank you, Adam. I don't know who you are or how you found me, but yeah, thank you for everything. I can't think of a way to ever pay you back for what you did for me.
Aw, that's sweet, he said, grinning at him. Come on, show me your designs, and let's work on some shoes together. It'll be nice to have you for company, finally.
Chris let out a stupid-sounding laugh and then cleared his throat.
I made something for you.
Really?
Chris looked down at his feet and smiled, seeing that Adam wasn't wearing any socks or shoes.
I hope you like them.
I love all your presents. Chris motioned for Adam to go towards the workshop table. He had covered the boots with a piece of canvas, and he gently pulled the canvas away, showing Adam the snakeskin boots.
These are for me? Adam said, staring at the boots.
Chris motioned with his hand for Adam to go to the boots, nodding at him. He watched as Adam stood in place, just staring at the boots, his cheeks flushing slightly pink. His ears, they were a little pointy at the tips, were turning a little pink as well. His eyes were so blue and wide, staring at the boots, his mouth dropped open, and he wore an intense expression on his face that was part amazement and part disbelief. Chris held his breath and bit his lower lip.
Go on, they're yours.
They're gorgeous, he said, stepping closer to the table and stroking the boots with his hands.
Chris, these are perfect.
I forgot to bring you socks. I'll remember tomorrow night.
Adam sucked in a breath and turned, folding his arms around Chris in a tight hug.
He tucked his face against Chris's neck and trembled. Chris wrapped his arms around Adam's back, patting his shoulder gently. He pressed his forehead against Adam's shoulder and let out a sigh, realizing that Adam was the perfect height to give him the perfect hug.
Thank you, Chris, he said, finally pulling away.
His blue eyes looked wet and glittery.
You're so talented and wonderful. I can't believe you made me boots.
Chris smiled up at him and opened his mouth to tell him that it was a long time coming when Adam bent his head and kissed him. They both moaned, and Chris pretty much just melted against Adam. He clung to Adam's neck and let him lick and taste and nip at his mouth. Chris closed his eyes and made a funny whimpery sound when Adam sucked on his tongue. He gasped when he felt Adam's hand slide down his back to curl over his butt, squeezing him in a firm and teasing grip. He moved his mouth down Chris's cheek to his earlobe and down his neck. Chris just leaned back and enjoyed the feel of Adam everywhere.
When the council gave me this job, I had no idea that it was going to be like this, Adam murmured, smiling at him.
Council? Chris said, gazing up at him. He stared at Adam's kiss-swollen mouth. Was Adam talking? He wanted to push Adam against his drafting table and climb him and kiss and kiss and kiss.
The Elf Council for Cobblers, Adam said, taking a deep breath and giving Chris a kiss on his forehead.
What?
Cobblers?
He stared up at him.
You think you're an elf?
Adam nodded.
I am an elf. I've been apprenticed to the head cordwainer for 145 years, and when I finally got my journeyman's license, the council gave me this job.
What? Wait, did you say 145 years? And the head cordwainer? Yeah, he's quite popular now in your world. His name is Jimmy Choo? Chris considered that for a moment. Actually, Jimmy Choo being an elf kind of explains so much about him. But you're an elf?
Yes!
And you're 145 years old?
No, I'm really 360 years old. It just kind of took me a while to figure out what I was good at. I was an apprentice to Celine Dion, but we kind of had a fight about our singing. I mean, Adam ducked his chin and blushed slightly. I think I'm a better singer than her, and we were constantly fighting over musical styles, you know?
He shrugged, smiling shyly at Chris.
Wow,
he gulped. So Celine Dion is an elf too?
Again, it explained so much.
Chris was kind of leaning towards alien, but, you know, elf, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Apparently she got married and started having babies. She stopped touring and putting out albums. Now she just sings at this place called Vegas.
Chris blinked.
This is so... I don't even know what to think, Adam.
Adam laughed, hugging Chris again before letting him go.
And you're so cute. And honestly, are you sure you're not one of us? Because you have these cute little pointy ears. Little elf ears.
Chris grabbed his ears and made a face. Okay. But no, I'm pretty sure I'm human. In all of his thoughts, Chris never once really believed that Adam was his shoemaking fairy godmother. Godfather. But he really kind of was. He watched as Adam put on the apron and started pulling off the tools that he needed from the tool wall. Adam turned on all the workshop machines that would be necessary. Chris watched as he grinned at the boots as he walked back to Chris's drafting table, picking up the sketchbook, placing a gentle kiss on Chris's cheek that made Chris catch his breath, and flipping through it to look at Chris's latest designs. There was something enchanting about the way that Adam was so sure of himself. That confidence without ego was really, really sexy.
These are gorgeous, he murmured, settling the sketchbook on the workshop table.
Oh, can we do these in purple? I loved making those purple leather shoes. Tell me, did people like them?
They sold 20 minutes after the store opened, and there was a wait list of 57 women, Chris said, looking at him.
So, really? An elf?
Adam laughed, rolling his eyes.
Why is it so hard to accept?
I don't know, because it's... Chris stopped himself. He didn't want to insult Adam.
Oh, honey, why don't you just sit down? It's really late for you. I know you've been up all day, and it won't take me very long to finish this, okay?
Chris sat down and blinked at him.
Okay.
He watched as Adam worked quickly and deftly, his hands producing the first shoe in just a few minutes. Chris picked it up and checked the craftsmanship, completely awed by Adam's skills.
Everyone's going to be so jealous when I get back home to show them my new boots, he said cheerfully. They were totally jealous when you started giving me clothes and other gifts. Apparently, none of the other elves received gifts from their hosts, you know? I mean, not that we need to get gifts or anything, but I think you've kind of spoiled it for everyone now. All the other elves were thinking that they should leave notes and try to get in touch with their hosts now.
There's not a lot of contact between, hosts and elves?
Adam shook his head, working on the sole of the next shoe.
Not really. We're really not supposed to interact, you know? I mean, it's not illegal or anything. Just kind of... not done, I guess. King Eber said that there was a time when elves were welcome to the human world, but there was a misunderstanding and a war, and the humans asked the elves to keep to our world.
Adam shrugged, sanding the sole of the shoe.
It's kind of sad, because we shouldn't have to hide from each other. You and I are a perfect example of all the good that could be.
Yes. Right. Right.
Oh, yes. So right.
Adam grinned at him.
You really are too cute for words, Chris.
Chris watched as he sighed, hands on hips, as he looked at the workshop table and all the shoes that he finished. "Well, I think I'm done for the night. Was there anything else you needed me to do?" "You have to leave?" Adam bit his lip and shrugged one shoulder. "Well, because if you don't have to leave, maybe we can go out and do something? Are you hungry? I know a great little diner that makes the best burgers and fries," he said, stepping closer to him. "And you could wear your new boots if you wanted." He watched as Adam blinked, his lips quivering into a wide smile. "Really? You want me to stay a little longer?" Chris nodded. "Yeah, I mean, if you don't need to go back, or, you know, have a special elf friend back in, your world." "I don't have any special elf friend," he said, taking a deep breath. "Oh, wow, this is so awesome. I can't wait to go and visit this diner for the burger and fries." Adam sat down on the stool and reached for the boots. He slipped one foot and the other into the snakeskin leathers. Chris had lined the inside with the softest leathers that he could find, and he watched as Adam closed his eyes, obviously wriggling his toes inside the boots. "Good? Feels so nice," he murmured huskily. "It feels like someone is stroking my feet. My feet are so sensitive." He opened his eyes and peered down at his new boots. "My feet look awesome! And they're so big! Look how big my feet are! And this heel, it's so high! I think I'm even taller now!" Chris swallowed, looking away, his face blazing hot. Oh yeah, he had big feet all right. Big feet, big everything. There was a tight ball of pleasure in his gut. Okay. Adam reached out to take Chris's hand. "Okay, I'm ready to visit this diner for burgers and fries." Chris squeezed his hand and chuckled. "Do you know what burgers and fries are, anyway?" "No, but it sounds terribly exciting." Every night, Chris waited for Adam to appear, part of him nervous that Adam wouldn't show up. But he always did. They worked together in his workshop, side by side. Chris often played the Beatles' Revolver album on his iPod speakers, and was really quite blown away when Adam learned the words and started singing along. Chris was really surprised by Adam's voice, and he made it a point to find songs that fit Adam's out-of-this-world vocal range. Adam seemed to really love Lady Gaga, so Chris downloaded her albums and taught Adam the words to her songs, and enjoyed watching Adam shake his butt as he sang and danced around the workshop. Chris even asked Adam to design his own shoes, and Brad practically had an orgasm when Chris showed him the shoes that Adam created. This is unbelievable," Brad moaned, staring at the heels. "It's like I died and went to shoe heaven." Adam smiled and his cheeks brightened. "Thank you, Bradley." Chris loved it when the three of them would stay after hours in the workshop. Sometimes Cassidy would stop by, and Chris would sit at his drafting table watching the three of them talking animatedly about clothes and shoes and fashion and singing. Brad bought a huge flat-screen TV, and Chris had wireless internet and cable put into the store. MTV was their favorite channel, and Adam would just stare at the screen, fascinated by the music videos. One night, Chris went out to pick up food for them, and when he came back, there was a tall and thin dark-haired man standing over Adam, lining his eyes with black eyeliner. "What's going on?" Chris said, settling the bags of food on the workshop table. "Chris, this is our friend Sutan. He's a makeup artist," Brad said, waving his hand at the other man. Sutan smiled and shook Chris's hand. "Hi, Chris. It's nice to meet you. I love your shoes, by the way." Sutan totally placed an order for 4 pairs of shoes, Brad told him. He's a drag performer. "Shoes totally make the outfit," Sutan said, his voice low and amused. Chris smiled, leaning against the table and watching as Adam was transformed. Not that he needed all of that, Chris thought. It just made him even more gorgeous. And Adam blinked and looked at Chris. Is it okay?
You look beautiful, Chris said, smiling at him. I like the new look.
Really? Adam said, nearly bouncing on the stool. Brad and Cass and Seitan said that we should all go out to a club to dance.
Chris chuckled, raising his eyebrows.
Oh, really?
Come on, Chris. You need to go out and shake that little bonbon too, Cassidy said, looking at him.
And really, it's very unfair of you to keep Adam all to yourself. He should know what he's missing.
Chris's smile wavered a little. He was kind of afraid of that. He couldn't imagine that Adam would find him interesting after a night out in a WeHo club.
Nah, go without me, okay?
Adam moved away from Seitan to look at him.
Do you not want me to go?
No, no, you should go. You'll love it, he said, looking at Adam's concerned eyes. They'll make sure you have a good time.
But you don't want to go with us?
Chris shook his head. I'm not really a club kind of guy, Adam. He saw that Adam was going to change his mind and not go.
Hey, you really should go. I want you to go. It's fun. You really will love it.
Are you sure? Because if you're not sure, then I don't want to go.
Brad, Cassidy, and Seitan protested loudly, all three of them talking over each other, saying that Adam should go, that Adam would love it, that Adam had to experience the nightlife. But Adam only looked at Chris.
Chris?
It's okay, he said, meaning it. Who was he to hold Adam back from all of those wonderful new experiences and Adam's new friends?
Have fun.
Okay, he murmured softly. He turned his face back to Seitan so that he could finish his makeup. Chris sighed, hugging all of the boys, waving to them as they dragged Adam out of the back to Cassidy's SUV. He leaned against the wall and watched the vehicle pull down the alley towards the main street. Chris sighed, biting his lip, and went back inside the building. It would only be a matter of time before Adam would be pulled into the world by the beautiful people and the wild colors and the ecstatic playtime of the young and the rich and the fun. He sat down at his drafting table and stared at Adam's latest designs, tracing the bold lines with his fingertips.
Baby, you're going to sleep away the best part.
Chris murmured, hiding his face into his pillow, grumbling. There was a puff of warm breath against his ear, and Chris shivered, letting out a soft moan.
Chris, Christopher, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Chris opened his eyes to slits and turned his head to see Adam leaning over him.
Adam?
He kissed down Chris's cheek, nuzzling his jaw and nipping at his neck.
You taste so good.
Chris gasped and turned on his back, looking up at Adam. His makeup was still perfect, his long black bangs falling over his eyes.
What? How did you get in?
Bradley did something to the locks and opened the door.
Chris rolled his eyes. I swear, he's in so much trouble.
Brad and Cassidy showed me a very interesting movie, Adam said, his voice low and husky. Chris closed his eyes and shivered when he felt Adam's fingers trace up and down his bare arm. They called it gay porn.
Chris opened his eyes wide and stared at him.
What? He giggled.
Gay porn. It was sex, and it was really, really hot.
Brad and Cass said I should have some gay porn sex with you, Adam murmured, tugging the sheets and the soft quilts down, making a pleased sound when he revealed that Chris was wearing a tank top and boxers.
You sleep in clothes?
Yeah, he swallowed. They showed you gay porn?
First, they showed me straight porn. It had a woman in it. I liked it,
But I like the gay porn better, Adam said, looking at Chris. He smiled, his eyes trailing down Chris from his head to his toes. He ran a large hand up Chris's leg. You have such soft skin. Is your skin soft everywhere? Chris whimpered. You have a beautiful bottom, he said, gently patting Chris's butt. Chris made a funny sound, and Adam chuckled, caressing his butt with his palm. Fits perfectly. Oh. I wonder what else fits perfectly, Adam said, his hand trailing over his hip, and then down towards his hardening cock. Chris closed his eyes and breathed noisily when Adam's hand curled around his cock over the fabric of his boxers, stroking him in a slow, tempting circle. You're getting so hard and wet. Adam, what are you doing? Do you even know what you're doing? I do now, Adam said confidently. Brad and Cassidy gave me pointers. Chris narrowed his eyes in a peak of jealousy, unable to meet Adam's gaze. Did you... with them? No, I didn't have gay porn sex with them, he said, shaking his head. I only want to have gay porn sex with you, Chris. Oh, wow. Yeah. Chris didn't always take the bull by the horns. He wasn't that kind of guy. But he wasn't stupid enough to not know that this was an opportunity of a lifetime, and that maybe heaven was giving him a reward for being a good man. He reached up and dragged his fingers into Adam's hair, watching as his eyes closed, a throaty moan coming from him. Chris smiled and grabbed a handful of thick hair, pulling him down to kiss that wide, sexy mouth. He was breathless and a little dazed by the time Adam pulled away. He was sure heading towards being a kissing expert at the rate he was going. Chris was kind of floating in endorphins and lust and emotional victory. Adam wanted to have gay porn sex with him. And he watched unabashedly as Adam stripped off his club clothes with a hot smile on his face. He reached down and pulled off Chris's tank top, and pulled down his boxers, sighing as Chris splayed his arms and legs on the bed, letting Adam look all he wanted. How did I get so lucky? Adam murmured, draping himself over Chris, moaning when their heated skin touched. Chris curled his arm around Adam's neck, one of his legs curling around Adam's hip. Sometimes heaven does answer prayers. Adam giggled and kissed him. Want me to show you what I learned from those movies? Chris groaned, staring up the ceiling as Adam kissed down his chest, wide hands stroking him everywhere. How many of them did you watch? Only the good ones. Chris closed his eyes, his hands going to Adam's thick hair, pulling the gelled spikes apart while Adam's mouth slipped lower and lower, hot and wet tongue tasting him everywhere. He panted and mewled when Adam started sucking and licking his cock. Chris tightened his hold on Adam's hair. Yeah, God, Adam, you're a fast learner. Adam chuckled. Just wait until I show you what I learned what to do with my cock. Of course, there was a happy ending. Adam went back to his elf world and asked the council if he could remain permanently with Chris in the human world. Chris worried for a couple of days, nervously chewing on his nails and slouched behind his drafting table, unable to sleep or draw or anything while Adam was gone. He promised that he'd come back, that the council never turned anyone down if the request was sincere. Elves were notoriously romantic, and Adam was terribly in love with Chris. All hearts and roses and fantastically designed high heels. He's going to come back, Brad consoled, petting him gently. Chris nodded. I've been praying, and I hope it wasn't selfish of me to ask for Adam to come back. That's not selfish, baby, he said, smiling widely. I don't think there's a god out there who wouldn't send you someone to love. He chuckled and blinked up at Brad. Have I told you today that you're my best friend? Brad's face broke out into a wide smile, and his eyes danced with delight. I always knew, but it's nice to hear now and again. Chris gave him a hug, squeezing him tight until Brad complained and giggled against his ear. He smacked Brad's butt. Go on, go home to your man. Give him one of your special, you know, kisses. Blow job. Come on, Chris, say it. Just once. He rolled his eyes. I can't say blow job. He really, really can. They turned, and Chris jumped off his stool, running over to Adam to give him a full-body hug. You're back! Yeah, Adam said, hugging him back just as tightly. And I can stay! Chris grabbed his arms and leaned back, smiling up at him. Good. Stay with me, okay? Until you want to get your own place, or whatever. Maybe you guys can buy a house, Brad suggested, walking towards them and giving Adam a quick hug. Adam's eyes widened as he looked at Chris. A house? Really? Maybe it's time I did get a house, he said, nodding shyly. Now that there's going to be someone else living with me. Yay! Adam cheered, bouncing on his feet. He looked around the workshop and didn't see any shoes or sketchbooks. He frowned and raised his eyebrow, looking at Chris. Someone didn't do any work while I was gone. Chris shrugged. I was kind of depressed. Because of me? Oh, baby, I'm here now, Adam said, swooping down to give him a long, firm kiss. That is so disgustingly sweet, Brad said, snickering at them. He blew them a kiss and walked towards the door. See you tomorrow. No, in fact, Chris, you should take tomorrow and maybe the next few days off. He was using that nonchalant tone again, but this time Chris fully agreed with him. I think that's a good idea. He smiled up at Adam. You know, I was thinking about something while you were gone. What? Since your designs have become so popular, how would you like to become our business partner, Allen and Lambert Designs? Adam's eyes widened and he sucked in a deep breath. You want me to be your business partner? I think it has a really nice ring to it. He watched as Adam nodded frantically, his hand over his mouth. And I know you and Cassidy love designing fashion. Maybe Allen and Lambert Designs should expand into unknown territory, Chris said, smirking slightly. Well, it would be better for me to do fashion design since... Adam looked pointedly at Chris's blue/green/gray plaid shirt. Chris laughed, wrapping his arm around Adam's neck, kissing his warm lips. Okay, you have a deal. Adam hugged him again, his laughter full of glee and happiness and love. Chris sent a quick prayer to heaven, always thankful of his good life, his great friends, and his thriving business. But most of all, Chris was thankful to heaven for sending him Adam, the strange elf who came into his life when he needed him the most. Chris blushed when Adam whispered all the naughty things he was going to do to Chris all night long. He peered up at Adam and bit his lip, watching Adam's eyes moving over his face. Have I told you today that I love you? Adam smiled, stroking his finger along Chris's ear. Today and every day. It was worth all of Brad's extra teasing and knowing looks when Chris and Adam came back to work after 3 days, and the delighted and victorious glint in Adam's eyes as he placed the soft cushion on Chris's chair, helping him sit down gingerly. It was totally worth it. The end. Reader's note. This was done for the Pod Together Challenge, where a story was written specifically to be podficked. If you'd like to find this work online, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/220491. Thanks for listening.